Welcome to the Flow Tracy Monitor Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:26 PM, that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is June 30th, and it's the end of the quarter, and it's been quite an eventful quarter. Just thinking about gold alone, it went from a low in March around 1450 up to test the $1,800 level in the space of only 3 months, and that's pretty impressive. And it is also a new recovery high. We haven't seen prices at these levels since back in 2012. What I find particularly interesting right now is that when we contrast the spot price, and it's worth remembering that there isn't really anybody who trades at the spot price, but it is the benchmark for a number of the ETFs that try to track gold. But the vast majority of people trade the futures. And when we look at the futures price, then there are some differences. The first is that this rebound back in March got all the way back to the peak. The subsequent rebound from the first pullback got all the way up to test $1,800. We got there again last week, and it surmounted it for a brief period in here today. But what I think is more noteworthy in both charts is the fact that the price has been going sideways now for about 2 months, perhaps a little bit longer than that, really, and has had an orderly consolidation in the region of the upper side of this range, and then subsequently popped on the upside. So there is still potential for additional upside here. I think it's going to require a pop above $1,800 on the spot level in order to really confirm that we're back in a demand-dominated environment. But it is looking increasingly likely that gold is the port of call for a significant number of investors that are looking for some way to hedge risk, because stock markets aren't offering that right now. In fact, they are leveraged to risk. Bond markets have been completely inert, so there is I guess the balance between supply and demand has been reasserted there. There's no compelling case one way or the other whether we're going to have imminent deflation or inflation. It looks increasingly likely that the markets are going to be controlled by governments. So therefore, gold fits into the hedging potential against equities. And there is potentially scope for significant upside here. One of the most important points about gold is that it does tend to have lengthy ranges, and that lulls one into the false sense of security that it is going to rally in a very orderly fashion. What is much more likely, and what we most often see from gold, is that it's one of the best examples of how ranges give way to explosions. So ranges are explosions waiting to happen. And we've often seen that with gold, that it can go sideways for a long time, and then when it goes, it really goes. And we're at the point now where it is in the on the cusp of breaking out in a really quite emphatic fashion. Prices have been rising for approximately 2 years now, but that has completed a lengthy base formation. We're back in the region of the peaks from 2012. In 2011, we got all the way up to about $1,920. Now the big question is that really going to offer any kind of meaningful resistance? Some people are thinking about $2,000, and I think that that is logical to think that we may get some consolidation there, because we've certainly paused at $1,400, $1,600, and $1,800. The next logical area where we might anticipate resistance would be at the round $2,000. But is there any real reason to believe that that would be the terminal point for the trend? I really don't think so. That the most important thing is that we have seen a significant resumption of the bull market in gold, that on a purchasing power parity basis, it is still below the peaks that were put in back in 2011, but it is coming up on those peaks. And I think it is particularly noteworthy that the peaks put in 2011 on a purchasing power parity basis, they are very much are they're very close to the peaks put in. Sorry, I'm just going to have to adjust this chart into a monthly to get the peak values, because it just simply will not do it with a daily chart. We can see that over $250 has tended to be the terminal value for bull markets in the past. But we also can see that bull markets have lasted for, on average, about a decade. And we are nowhere near a decade into this particular advance. So the peak to trough, the trough to peak move started in 1970, ended in 1980, started around 1999, 2000, ended around 2011, so give or take about 11 to 12 years. And even if we were to take the low that was put in 2015 as the beginning of the move, we still got another good 5 years in it, but potentially longer than that if we take the breakout point as the beginning of the bull market. So there is clear potential that what we're going to see in this particular bull market is gold breaking out to new all-time highs on a purchasing power parity basis. And there is a simple reason for that. It's because the value of fiat currency is being degraded in real time. There is the clear intention to inflate away the issues that governments have accrued for themselves all over the world. That's part of the reason why we've seen gold appreciating in a range of different currencies. And if we just go back and look at the weekly chart, we can clearly see that gold is moving clearly on the upside in the US dollar. It is also doing particularly well now in British pounds. It has pushed on to not quite make a new all-time high, but we're certainly not that far off it either. When we think about the outlook for some of the other major economies in the world, gold is appreciating in euros, it's appreciating in Brazilian reals, where you've had an historically weak currency. It's been trending higher for a significant amount of time. Against the Swiss franc, it moved to a new all-time high just back in March and is coming back up on that level right now. In Australian dollars, it has bounced from the region of the trend mean. And the clear conclusion here is that gold does best when it is appreciating in all currencies. And there is a clear intention. Then I think it's particularly interesting when we look at this trend of gold that has been going on now for 2 years, then it is in large part due to the fact that we've had a significant contraction in government bond yields. But that contraction in government bond yields is also flattering equities. So when we then think about I've recreated this chart. I've now got a different ticker. So when we think about just how much of a differential there is between the equity yield and the bond yield, it is really quite spectacular. That is, I'm afraid, the wrong chart. And I don't know why I'm not getting that to come up. I think that is the right one. There we go. When we look at this longer term chart, we can see that I remember it being a big event back in 2008 and 2009, when equities finally yielded more than bonds. And that range has persisted for most of the last 12 years, and then it broke on the upside. So now you can still pick up 130 basis points by buying equities over government bond yields. If we go back and think about how much value was represented by equities back in 1980, for example, then Treasury yields were 10% higher than that on the S&P 500 in 1982. So they were both pretty unloved asset classes as a result of the massive inflation that we'd had at the time. Well, when we then think about it, was the peak in the gold market. That was a major peak in gold because it was a performing asset against a background where other asset classes were underperforming by a very wide margin. Well, today we still have the outperformance of technology companies and the continued supply of liquidity, which is helping to inflate asset prices. And that is still possible because we have not had inflation coming back in a big way. The clear intention of central banks is obviously to try and create inflation. And it's the kind of environment where it's difficult to get a little inflation. And once you start to get a lot, then it's rather difficult to control it. So it's an obvious risk. That's why gold is rising, because investors are willing to hedge that inflation is the potential outcome and that bonds are the exact wrong asset class that can be used to hedge against equity risk. So we are seeing that equities are certainly now yielding more than bonds. That is less true in the UK. And part of the reason for that, or excuse me, this is less true in the USA because of the fact that equities are comparatively more expensive there. But when we then think about what is going on in terms of the yield on UK equities, we have got it got all the way up to 6.5% in March. It's now down to 4.25%, but this is significantly below where prices are, excuse me, where the spread had. I am talking myself in circles, and I do apologize for that. This is a massive expansion of the spread over the course of the last decade. It's only a compression over the last while. But this is also helping to clearly give us evidence of the fact that government bond yields have contracted because of massive stimulus. Equities, by comparison, yield more. Now, when investors start to look at how they're going to generate a return, then they're going to have to start looking at equities. But they're also going to hedge that risk with gold. It does leave the government bond markets out in the cold somewhat. They just do not represent value in this environment. When we then think about the same kind of determination in Australia, well, generally the Australian market has had a higher yield than the UK. What we can also think about is that government bond yields have also generally been higher. So, in fact, the spread is not as wide and it's only about 3.2%. But one thing that we can certainly look at is that there has been a trend of rising yields relative to bonds in the USA, the UK, Australia, and this is more to do with a clear downtrend in yields in government bonds everywhere, which is creating a more attractive environment for equities everywhere. Now, we obviously have quite a lot of volatility in terms of the price levels for equities, but investors don't really have a choice. When equity yields are where they are today relative to government bond yields, then pension funds and big investors don't have a lot of choice. They have to buy the equities. That's part of the reason why we continue to see that the trends so far have been reasonably consistent off the lows in March, where we have relatively equal size ranges one above another. Now, the S&P 500 was in additional positive territory today, and it continues to find support around this 3,000 level. And that is the minimum requirement to confirm that we're still in a recovery scenario. When we then think about the NASDAQ 100, It was also in positive territory today, back above the psychological 10,000 level, and it has now put in another higher reaction low. So the previous touchstone was around 9,500, and the most recent now is around 9,750. And as long as these indices are holding their sequences of higher reaction lows, we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. When we think about the absolute value of the FTSE 100, it's obviously got the higher yield. It hasn't performed as well, but it still has that sequence of ranges, one above another, although they have tended to dip into one another. But as long as that sequence of higher reaction lows remains intact, I think investors are going to be willing to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. One thing that I think is interesting is that gold continues to do well, but it is doing it on its own. It is not taking the wider commodity complex with it. Oil prices were a little bit softer in here today. There is obviously a great deal of supply still sitting out there that is slowly but surely being eroded by recovering economies, but there is plenty of supply. When we then think about the copper price, the primary bull market hypothesis is that we are going to have an infrastructure boom. I think it is really baked in the cake at this stage that we're going to have a continued move on the upside. For copper in particular, because of the potential for an infrastructure boom. And it is on the cusp potentially now of breaking its sequence of lower rally highs. So that is a meaningful phenomenon. But when we look at the London Metals Index, then it is still a ways from breaking the downtrend, but it is now finally back above the trend mean. So we have the scope that gold is leading on the upside, and that maybe it's going to pull the rest of them higher over time. But we're not seeing quite the same reason for why commodities should be rallying. Commodities are very much tied to global economic growth. There is the potential that what we're looking at is an inflationary boom before we get an inflationary bust. That's certainly a potential outcome. And what that would suggest is that we see asset prices for just about everything rising because of the massive amounts of liquidity that are getting pulled through. When we then think about the performance of mining shares, then the FTSE 350 mining index has been rebounding. It's been pausing here in the region of the trend mean. 20,000 has been a meaningful area of resistance now for most of the last 8 years. And if it can sustain a move back above that level, well, then we really are back in a demand-dominated environment. There are, of course, isolated examples of shares that have been doing substantially better. Fortescue Metals, for example, has been riding the iron ore boom for most of the last 18 months. It has been consolidating over the last few weeks, but so far this range is reasonably similar in size to the one put in April and May, and as long as that remains the case, then we're still in a reasonably consistent uptrend. There is likely to be some value in the mining sector because we haven't yet seen a lot of the infrastructure development that's been promised, and investors are still a little wary of investing aggressively in the sector because you don't yet have the evidence that you're going to see a significant pop on the upside. The one thing that should comfort investors is that there hasn't been a lot of investment in new supply for most of the last decade. And that is likely to contribute to a supply and elasticity meets rising demand environment if we do get back into a more robust global economic recovery. That may be a phenomenon for the fourth quarter. It may be a phenomenon for 2021. It's very likely that infrastructure development is going to be a global phenomenon, most particularly in areas where populist uprisings are becoming very much a feature of the political environment. That's certainly true in Europe and in North America. But it is equally true of places like India, and they certainly need additional infrastructure. Now, the market there has also been rebounding. One thing I think is particularly interesting is that the vast majority of global indices share this common factor, that they all had the significant pullback in March, and they have all been rebounding over the course of the last 3 months. The vast majority are still below their respective trend means, and it is Wall Street that is above its trend mean. So there is still room for continued outperformance in the USA because of tech leadership. And that is still helping to propel the FANG index higher. And it, having been down last week, it has rebounded in rather emphatic fashion in here today, up an additional 2%. Facebook, having put in a clear downward dynamic on Friday and completing a downside weekly Q reversal, has been positive now 2 days in a row. This is a meaningful rebound from the region of the trend mean, and that is despite the fact that they are losing advertising clients hand over fist. Now the question is whether that is all virtue signaling or whether it is a permanent condition or simply a temporary one in response to the protest movement that has erupted in advance of the presidential election in the USA. When we look at some of the other technology companies, though, Microsoft, for example, was at a new all-time high in here today, and Tesla was also among the better performers and broke really quite conclusively through the $1,000 level. So that is a very emphatic break on the upside. Netflix, which has also been one of the lightning rods for additional stimulative action, was also in positive territory and is back above the $450 area. So we are still seeing pushes on the upside in here. Not especially because we have a very robust economic environment. We don't. It's much more in response to the continued promise of additional liquidity and the fact that it is possible now to pick up a significant yield premium by investing in these equities. And I think that is by far the most important point. The fact that gold is now popping on the upside as well, it does suggest that the bond market is where less interest or at least less return is likely to be generated, and that investors are looking more towards equities and commodities and leaving out the bond markets. There is obviously a clear differentiation as well between the clear performers in the equity market and those that are still struggling to recover. The fact that such a large portion of the equity market is still struggling to recover is also supportive of the view that we are going to see additional stimulative measures. And it is likely that those could be announced in July for the simple reason that there's going to be a lot of taxes paid in the USA in the middle of July, and the $600 additional unemployment benefit is going to expire at the end of the month, and then politicians tend to go on holiday in August. So if they're going to announce an additional stimulative measure, it's probably going to be within the next few weeks. And I think with that, I will leave you for today. I do want to apologize for being somewhat tongue-tied as I was typing in tickers. Having created new tickers, they're not flowing off my tongue or into from my head onto my fingers as readily as I might like, but hopefully I will have remembered them by the next time I do a recording. So I'll leave that with you for today.